My name is Alexis Koskin. I'm currently a postdoctoral research fellow at Moffitt Cancer Center. And this research, again, is work from my dissertation. And I want to go ahead and acknowledge my fantastic committee. We actually have one of the committee members here, Dr. Deanne Macias, from the University of South Carolina College of Nursing, and also research collaborators included Dr. Daniela Friedman, Heather Brandt, and Katrina Wasserman, from the School of Public Health at University of South Carolina. And again, my topic is on sustaining community health programs, and this is coming from the perspective of program planners. So I have no financial relationship to disclose. So just kind of give you a step-by-step of what I'm going to present today. First, I'm going to talk about promotores de salud, the Spanish term for community health workers, and kind of the theoretical basis for working with this these groups of individuals to carry out health programs, gaps in research, and then walk you through the research study. So who is a promotora de salud or promotor de salud? Again, Spanish for community health worker. And there are, within the research literature, there are many names, such as community health advisor, lay health advisor, peer health educator, and the list just goes on. And the idea is, again, this being a community health worker section, I'm sure you've been quite aware of this definition, but the idea is that you recruit people from lay health workers from a community and train them with health messages to provide outreach and link the community to resources for care. And often program planners have chosen to work with this type of workforce to reach marginalized populations. The theoretical basis for working with promotoras is the idea of community empowerment through community engagement. If you recruit someone who's part of a community, they know the local resources, the local barriers to healthcare access. They have their own concepts of what are some of those social determinants of health. They know who knows whom. How do you get where at what time? They know the community. And it's a really powerful partnership when you've got healthcare organizations and even academic institutions partnering with the community to carry out healthcare. So the idea is that this type of healthcare has the potential to be very sustainable because, again, your healthcare workforce is coming from the community in which they're serving. So kind of take a step back. What I'm talking about when I'm discussing sustainability is that idea of program continuation. And that requires numerous resources. So we want to kind of look and understand how might program planners from various institutions foresee sustaining these programs. So in the literature, there's much that's published about kind of who is a promotora or promotor. What do they do? Some general conceptualizations, maybe not necessary specific definitions. How are they trained? How are they recruited? But there's a gap in the research about how do you sustain these programs. And also, programs vary based on institutions. So how do program planners from various institutions conceptualize sustaining these very powerful programs? So we're going to take a look at program planners' perceptions of sustainability. Why program planners? Because often they're the individuals who organize resources, plan the project, often recruit and train the workers. And so we want to kind of get from their perspective how to just keep these programs going. So to begin exploring their perceptions, I conducted telephone in-depth interviews. Basically, I used telephone in-depth interviews to reach a vast geographically dispersed group of program planners, and kind of understanding that maybe the promotora de salud programs will maybe look a little bit different in the Texas Valley, maybe in California, maybe in Minnesota, maybe in Illinois. These will probably vary based on subpopulation or population, and also resources and how long even community health worker programs have been carried out in that region. So again, I conducted interviews. They lasted generally between 30 and 90 minutes, with the average being about 60 minutes. And how did I start recruiting? How did our team recruit study participants? Well, I looked at some systematic reviews, so I went first to literature. But there's a problem when you only consult academic literature. You miss community programs. You miss some of the things that haven't been published. You miss some of the hospital-based programs. So search Dr. Google MD to or PhD to find out more people who might be interested or more people who've been running some evidence-based and some not so evidence-based programs in the community. And then also snowball sample. So ask some of the program planners, hey, do you know anybody who meets this inclusion criteria who may want to participate in the study? So I contacted them by email and by phone. And criteria for being included in the study, I needed individuals who worked on obesity-related health programs. Why obesity? Well, our research team is very interested in the topic of health disparities, and we saw the disparity between the white population, white women, and Hispanic women with some of these obesity-related chronic diseases, such as gestational diabetes, type 2 diabetes. Just saw a difference in disease prevalence and incidence. And so we focused on this topic, and other than that, we needed individuals who had previously recruited and trained promotoras, who were able to speak English and were available to be interviewed during the study time period. And also, I just want to go ahead and throw in there that for obesity-related health programs, that was defined by, within the training curriculum for promotoras, was there at least one or two sessions on nutrition, physical activity, or weight management. And you'll see through the results that there were a variety of health topics that were covered, even within the obesity-related programs. So I just want to give you a snapshot of some of the questions. These are not all of the questions that we used to ask about how do you perceive sustaining your program. So just how do you define sustainability? What do you think about that? How do you foresee promotoras carrying out certain components, whether it's just the education and outreach or whether it's also some of the resources from the program? How do you encourage this? What resources do you provide even after the initial program funding, if it's coming from a grant, even after that's over? So we created this, the research team created the interview guide. We pilot tested it. It was mainly qualitative, but I also asked some demographic questions to get more information about both the program participants and, you know, their physical programs. Pilot tested this interview guide and kept interviewing. I'll kind of talk a little bit more about some of the grounded theory technique for analysis, but basically kept interviewing individuals until we started getting the same types of answers and reached information saturation. So all interviews were audio recorded and transcribed, and we removed identifying information of individuals and organizations. So we coded three research team members and I got together, started coding interview transcripts, made an initial code book, went back through, recoded and recoded basically until we felt like we had exhausted the data and had come up with themes. And what types of themes we were interested in are, well, we coded using open codes, meaning these are exact phrases that look representative of some of the other themes we've seen in the data, kind of code accordingly. Themes that we saw arise from the data, and then selective codes, which means you kind of add, merge, disaggregate codes into those selective codes. So I reread and recoded all of the interview transcripts twice, constantly comparing, and felt pretty satisfied with the outcomes, as well as my research team also agreed this looks like what was represented in the interviews. All codes were entered in Atlas TI. So just to kind of give you how I'm going to talk about the results first, kind of give you descriptors of the program participants and the programs, and then go into more of the qualitative themes. So there were a total of 24 program planners who represented 22 different programs. So at times, there were a few program planners that said, you know what, I can't answer these questions, but I can refer someone from the program who can give you a fuller answer. And they ranged in roles from principal investigator, co-investigator on the study, program director, program coordinator, promotor trainer. And the types of organizations they represented were those grassroots community-based organizations, universities, collaborations between those two, federally qualified health centers, hospitals, and there was one state government-run program. So they also represented a variety of states in separate geographic regions, with most being from the Southwest and West, and others being from Midwest, Southeast, and the East. And again, remembering that these programs, how we defined obesity-related was from having one or two of the curriculum sessions being on nutrition, nutrition, physical activity, and weight management. These were all the different types of programs that touched on that topic. Okay, so to get into the qualitative themes, first want to often program planners discuss the rationale for sustaining programs. Why should we even care about sustaining these programs? And some of the powerful quotes that I have received in the data were, this is a strength-based approach for delivering public health care. It's a, instead of this paternalistic top-down method of delivering health care, it's more peer-to-peer. And it's a way of kind of building up people within the community to be able to deliver care to their peers and other community members. Another important theme was the intent to sustain the program. Was this just a research program where you were asking scientific questions and you were wanting to get scientific answers, and so maybe the intent was not to sustain this program? Maybe it was a short two-year grant and it was very difficult. Maybe you received grant funding and you had to move on to that next project. But one thing that I thought was an important quote was, at least communicate your intention of whether or not you want to sustain this program to your promotores, so they're not expecting that this is going to last within your community for years and years to come if you don't think that that's feasible. So again, the most commonly reported barrier to sustainability was funding. Show me the money. Many people said, you know what, if we don't have money, we just can't keep this going. I'm sorry, we can't expect our promotoras to keep delivering health care if we're not giving them some kind of incentive, whether it's child care, whether it's gas reimbursement, whether it's food, whether it's a salary. It's hard to expect people to keep carrying out your program if you can't provide something. Sure, they will do this out of the goodness of their hearts, but sometimes it's also good to give some kind of incentive. Again, kind of going back to the funding topic, if this is a short grant, if the money is gone and you can't carry it out, it's hard to sustain. And so time was also somewhat related to funding, in the sense that we don't have the time to keep providing this quality assurance and to keep training. One single training session that may last anywhere between 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks is just not enough to train a group of people to continually deliver healthcare and expect it to be quality health education and outreach. It's always good to kind of keep answering questions and keep giving education, keep providing that to help have people deliver that information. Another major theme was the non-integration of promotoras into the current healthcare system. There are a couple of states that have credentialing programs. There are a couple of states that have Medicaid and Medicare billable codes so that promotoras can be integrated into a current healthcare system. And I know there's a major hot debate there as to, I heard Sergio Matos right here go, oh no, back pedal. No, it's okay, but that is one of the themes that came out of the data, is the need to find a way to integrate them into the formal healthcare system. So barriers to program sustainability also included lack of good, solid evaluation data. And it came into two forms: the lack of the data being there, and then also of obtaining that data. It's difficult. This might be something that this group of individuals not used to collecting. Today we did this, tomorrow we'll do this, here's the process, here's delivering that outcome, collecting surveys. And then maybe the sustainability wasn't documented. So who knows if the promotoras didn't go to the grocery store after the program was over, when they're not on the clock, and started talking to other community members within the grocery store. That's some kind of outreach that's just not being documented. So maybe these little stories are happening, just not getting written down, so you can't prove that it occurred. And then this is my favorite theme, a little partial to my data here, was the sustainability of individual promotores. You know what? So what about the health program? We're here to also train people, provide skills. Some people that maybe don't have the education that they need to be hired for other jobs. Maybe this is their first job out after having kids and never had a formal job. So this is giving those people giving the promotores the experience, or promotores the experience, to be able to move on to their next job, giving them some social and economic and career mobility. So recommended actions from this research: number one, elaborate on your intentions of whether or not you plan on sustaining this. that's very important to kind of let people understand, you know, is this going to be around for a while? Are we going to try to make it last? Or is it going to be over after that initial funding's gone? Collaborate with community partners and create a community action plan prior to implementing the program. If you want to keep it sustained, maybe work with some grassroots organizations or nonprofits or for-profits who can kind of be those individuals who can keep the program going. Enhance process and outcome evaluation, and then offer continual promotor de salud trainings even after those initial trainings. So, like every study, my study has some strengths and limitations, and due to the qualitative data, there's some limited generalizability. The sample was a little bit more heavy from individuals from certain states and more heavy on university, CBO, community-based organizations, and also universities, so kind of the diversity of the types of organizations represented. The inclusion of only speaking English-speaking participants, I probably missed individuals who were most comfortable speaking in Spanish. The use of telephone interviews and coding bias. However, I do want to note some pretty strong study strengths. We had a very diverse sample of program planners, many who are considered experts in the field, who sit in this room, there are also some novel findings which challenge that traditional idea of what is sustainability, whether it's sustainability of a program or, again, of the individual. So concluding remarks, and this is kind of, again, treading into hotly debated territory, there's that idea of institutionalizing the role of promotoras. It could be through state credentialing. It could be through billable codes for Medicaid and Medicare so that they can be reimbursed formally for their work. And it could be creating a position as a formal member of a healthcare system. But what I think we really need to focus on from this study was that it's really difficult to sustain some of these programs. And especially if they're trying to eliminate or reduce health disparities, we really need to be doing a better job of working with other organizations to be able to sustain, again, the work that could possibly work to reduce some of the health disparities in the community. And that's it.